to Forge the Narrative.
Hey everybody, welcome to Forge the Narrative. My name is Paul, your host, We All About Lost Souls podcast. I'm joined tonight by Ricky Addington and Red Powell.
Space engineers, go!
Good evening, everybody.
Ricky's obviously been occupying his time.
Oh my gosh, 100 hours in a week, I think is what it said. I'm not proud of it. I'm not proud of it, but that's my life now. And thank you, coronavirus.
Yeah. Hey, I played my first game of Kill Team on Tabletop Simulator this week.
Can you walk me through that? Is that, I guess the question is, my first question for that is, does it take away from the game by not having the actual models there?
It's not Warhammer, right? So yeah, you're missing some of the thing. You're not playing with, well, I guess by and large, you're not playing with your models. You're playing with a 3D model that's either been taken from a video game or a picture of, you know, somebody else's model. You're not playing with your model. So there's missing a lot of that. And then you got a little bit of tech stuff to deal with, you know, whether it's how you measure range or being able to check line of sight or not being able to walk your model under a piece of terrain, you know, a building or something, just stuff, you know, it's not the same. It doesn't have that whole tactile feel of some of the other things we get from the hobby, but you know, playing with a good buddy, you know, was able to talk about what we wanted to do or able, I mean, other than that, it was fine, you know,
yeah,
being patient with each other.
Let me ask you this, because one of my favorite aspects of the game is when my opponent isn't looking, is to reach over and steal a shield drone of his and see if he notices. So you can't do that on there, I assume.
You can still do that.
He's not looking at the screen. You can do that.
Ooh, nice.
You just have to, you know, when they're not looking, I guess.
Yeah. Maybe okay. Might have to get a video chat thing going or something.
Get a snack or something.
Yeah. I got you. Okay. Yeah. I'm in. I might have to give it a shot then.
Yeah. But I did enjoy it. You know, there was, got to, how you go about building your army or whatever is you find objects, you just load up different screens and then save off what you want into your objects bin and then go in and then bring that saved object into a whatever thing you're going to play on.
This is already too complicated.
That's
for
how
me.
You get your minute. But I did find some people had made, so I was playing Death Guard, so I was able to find like some two or three different Death Guard dice patterns. That was exciting.
Oh, so you went all in on this. Okay.
Well, I mean, it's literally a matter of clicks. You know, it really wasn't, you know, well, that part wasn't so tedious, but finding, like searching through until you find one that has enough models for you to do. And if like, there's only one Blight Launcher guy. So if you want more than one Blight Launcher, you've got to copy it, you know, whatever. There is a little bit of tedium. It's not, I mean, again, it's not Warhammer, but I did enjoy the interaction and being able to move things around, and I could still make some pew pew noises.
Right. Well, I mean, you know, gotta make do, I guess.
Well, you know, with this, I started looking around at some of the other board games and stuff like that. You know, there's people have put a lot of effort into this, and you know, again, it's not a replacement. It's not a replacement for me, but it was, you know, an interesting way to spend a little time.
Yeah, we've been playing a lot of Star Trek Settlers of Catan. We've been playing a lot of that here at the house lately. So I think, like, if I'm playing a miniatures game or a board game, I just try to go grab one of the other three people in this house and make them roll dice with me that way.
There you go. No shame in that.
Can't get them to play Warhammer, though.
I've been arranging my hobby area. I've currently both discovered and lost some miniatures this week. They're somewhere, been moved and cleaned up, you know? I know I got nobody to blame it on but myself.
No, you have children and a wife. You're allowed to blame them for every bit of this because, Paul, you would not throw away. I believe it was a Belisarius call.
He's somewhere.
You mentioned you would not throw that away. That is too great of a model. Now, your youngest son, you know, he's young, he's innocent, he's not thinking. Maybe it ended up in a toy box somewhere or it got thrown away by your wife when she was cleaning. It was not you. It was not you. Just know that.
I like your industrious spirit here.
Yeah. Don't take the fall on this one, Paul. That was one of those kids, or it was that wife.
Yeah. It in my hand.
Yeah.
I remember it being there, and now it's not there.
Yep. Yep.
It's custom painted to match the.
See? How could you let that disappear? You wouldn't have. No way.
You're right. You know what? That's the only thing that could have happened here.
Yeah. Or who is your sketchiest friend that you've had over in the past couple of months? Maybe one of them nicked it.
I've already asked them.
Uh-huh. Well, of course, you know, and the people who steal models, they're the ones who say, yes, that was me. That's not the way it works. They're not going to tell you, Paul. You better look at them harder. I'm telling you.
I'll make sure to give cast an eye of judgment.
Yes.
Out of
yes.
some text messages, some social distance.
There scathing. You go.
Oh, no. It will turn up. That's the thing they always do, right?
Well, it will now. Now that we put them on blast on a podcast, all of a sudden you're just going to find it.
Just going to find it somewhere.
Right after some friend just did a wellness stop in, you know, hey, just checking in on
thought
you.
Thought I'd bring you a jar of pickles.
Yeah. Mind if I use the bathroom real quick?
Oh, man. This got intense. I really hope you find those models now because somebody's in trouble.
I'm not accusing anybody, but look, if Colin happens to turn up in the mailbox, you know, the one the painted ball in the mailbox. No, I actually did like a model transfer. You know, left some stuff on the porch, and I was like, "Yo, hey man, check that foam, because
yeah,
all in there."
And you know they've got it in their hands, and they're like, "Yeah, no, wasn't in here, man. I ain't seen it."
Oh, better. You know, I probably deserve that. But the just hobby wait. And rearranging, I've turned to find out I've got a bunch of Sisters of Silence, which is a hot topic right now. We'll talk about that in a minute. I found, you know, I've been since with the news of the new Inquisitor that's coming out sooner in with Psychic Awakening, or come out eventually with Psychic Awakening. I've been kind of going around and finding all my Inquisitor like models. I don't know why. I just kind of hoped that they're going to come back as some type of, you know, actual playable force.
Yeah, I really, really, really wanted to see them be fielded because I think you can, you know, an inquisitorial army gives you such an opportunity for customization, kit bashing, all that, in the same way that like playing Necromunda lets you just go like wild with whatever you want to do. The Inquisitors are such eccentric, just weirdos, you know, like they run the gamut and you can just have a lot of fun with them. And so I would just love to see that in the game. I would love to see people be able to come up with really cool models, really fun conversions and kit bashes, put them on the table and be a viable army.
Yeah, with some of the best stories over the years have been about Inquisitors being, you know, they weren't, you know, the ones doing all that. They were normally there with some other things, you know, like Space Marines or Grey Knights or, you know, whatever. Yeah, but they were the ones like calling the shots, pulling the strings, doing a lot of strategizing and being able to have those types, you know, elements in the game. Although that may be something I admit is probably best in the lore. Like it's going to be very difficult to have a human character, you know, be a juggernaut on the tabletop.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we'll see. I mean, I'm open to it, you know, if it makes sense.
Yeah, I think, well, I mean, even if they just bring in some cool tactical elements or something, you know, there's something you could do there to
unlock some cool stratagems.
Maybe. Yeah, there's something cool there that could be done.
I hope so. But, you know, it's been getting a cool thought exercise just going around and finding the various, you know, like throughout the years, metal ones, you know, just old models, because the human models still pretty much are in scale. Like they're all the ones they've ever produced are pretty much still in scale with the other human models in the game.
Yeah, they hold up. I don't think the Harlequins hold up as well. I've got an old school metal Harlequin and it's, yeah.
Well, they're standing flat footed for the most part. So they're not like jumping up and.
Yeah, not very dynamic.
I think the cool thing about, especially with that new Inquisitor, you know, kind of like you were saying, Ricky, that how they run the gamut, like, you know, with Space Marines, we've always kind of looked at our Imperial bits and whatnot. But with like Chaos or Orcs, for example, there's been a lot of opportunity for kit bashing and things like that that you can throw together to get to a certain extent. I think the Inquisitor has really opened the door, especially this recent one with the Eldar armor and the skulls and everything like that.
She's got a dragon.
Yeah, and she's got a dragon. Like, I feel like you can her whole crew. I mean, you could make an Imperial Guard retinue like based around that, like with that kind of aesthetic. I think it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it would be super cool. Like, there, I love the idea of being able to take an Inquisitor and carrying a theme across into an entire army. I think it would just be super fun.
You know, something that has not held up scale over the years is the Space Marine. I actually found, you know, while I was rearranging a single, I think it was the RTB-01. I have one of those Marines built. And right now I have him positioned on the shoulders of Tigerius. Like he's giving a piggyback ride.
What was the, which edition did I start with? Second edition. So the second edition box set Marine. Remember I think it was like two piece push fit.
And basically, yeah, holding the bolter in the backpack.
Just has the bolter.
So it's three piece with the backpack, I think.
Yeah. That compared to get one of those and set it next to a regular, a regular Marine of today and then a Primaris Marine. And it is shocking. Like it is, you know, you don't remember if you don't compare them or put them right next to each other, what we have now versus what we had then. It is shocking when you actually put them right next to each other.
Yeah.
They don't hold up. Yeah. I keep them for nostalgia. When those third
edition Marines came out, I absolutely loved them. Like they were just so cool compared to the ones before them. And then
Oh yeah. I remember the rocket launcher, just the rocket launcher that came with that. I get with the third edition kit.
Yeah.
Remember
it had with the hands that had it on the side.
The hand. Yeah. Oh my gosh. I was like, we're in the future.
Now look at it.
Look, yeah. Garbage. Get it out of here.
You know, they are still, yeah, a little short, but you know, whatever. Primaris is the way to go.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, so
I do miss tactical squads though. I loved like kitting them out, you know, different weapons, those out. There was a lot of fun with that. You know, you had your...
I think they'll come back. I think they'll come back as Primaris. Like, well, the next iteration of Primaris will probably be very tactical-like, if you ask me. Like, I mean, this is just wishlisting and guessing, but...
Yeah. I would like to see that just for, I think, nostalgia purposes, right? And just for being able to build an army that way. Realistically though, like in the past, what, three editions of the game, how often did you take the heavy weapon in a tactical squad? You were usually five man in them and you'd probably throw a melted gun in there or something back in, you know, so it didn't actually see a ton of use in what, fifth and sixth edition. I don't remember really doing it a lot.
Had to do with like point cost and effectiveness of things against like vehicles and stuff. I mean, but you know, that's all relative. If I had to guess, you know, that we would eventually see some tactical options. It's like a software update, like a Java update. Like people needed time to like get used to the idea of Primaris and.
Yeah,
and it's like on the day after the version shift, she's like, well, look, we've been telling you for 2.5 years that we're switching to this new version of Java. Like,
don't act shocked that it came along. Yeah.
Version 9 is no longer supported.
Ugh, man, that hurts.
I mean, I don't, you know, this is just.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong. No, I mean, it's coming. It's just, I mean, again, we come to our later topic and the Space Marines, there's definitely hints that they are on their way out.
Well, okay, so, you know, there was a story that just hit, right? We were talking about this before in the pre-show. Tell us what's happening, right? This story's up for free, so if we're not trying to give any spoilers, it'll probably be unavoidable. Spoilers will be unavoidable. So if you've not read one of the latest Psychic Awakening stories, you might want to pause now, fast forward 10 minutes, skip to the 30-minute mark. Something.
Yeah. No,
spoiler alert. Spoiler.
Yeah. And it's a good read too. I highly recommend, like, I mean, it's great, you know, Black Library quality of fiction here. So, I mean, and accepting the fact that our background, just because some of the controversy that's going on, I just want to put out, and I know there's plenty of people that are going to disagree. And I mean, if you guys have not got a chance to see some of the arguments over this, I highly recommend. And so this is the grim, dark 40K we're talking about, right? Like, you know, the entire race of mankind is run by a near dead dude sitting on a throne that requires 10,000 souls a day to keep him charged and going. So none of this should be as much of a surprise. However, so the setting is, I mean, and I'm going to paraphrase quite a bit here, but you've got a Space Marine chapter that has been, in short, determined heretical by the Ordos Hereticus, which is the branch of the Inquisitors that specifically determine, you know, if you've gone renegade or rogue or turned to, you know, so the man, so you've got a custodes and a sister of silence talking to, I think it's like a captain of the chapter, and he's got two dudes next to him, and they're on the bridge, and it's being told from the sister of silence perspective, and
so quietly.
Yeah. So she doesn't, she obviously doesn't say anything, but you get to the nice thing from her perspective is you get to see what she's thinking.
It's a short story.
So,
it's just three blank pages.
Yeah. So the custodes lets them know that they've been deemed this, and they kind of give one of those like double take moments where they're like, wait, what? Like, you can't determine, like, we're not renegades. The custodes like, well, yeah. I mean, the quiz, you know, inquisitorial decree. So go ahead and put your weapons down and come with us, and we're going to take you in for questioning. And the chapter, the captain is like, nope, we didn't do anything wrong. Like, we, like, I don't understand. Can you, like, present us with the evidence and we can determine if, you know, this is a reasonable request? The custodes is like, nope, I don't repeat myself. I work for the emperor. Like, I only answer to the emperor, and I shouldn't have to tell you twice. And so one of the Space Marines off to the side starts to mouth off. And the next thing you know, the custodes has shot him, and it breaks out into a fight. And the captain decides to tell everybody on the Voxnet that to not give up to the custodes, to, you know, fight and defend yourselves. And the Sister of Silence is like, well, that's pretty much it. We're going to have to kill everybody now. And it goes down from there. It was pretty intense. It was a really good read. I highly recommend it. And I know that was like the TLDR paraphrase version, but you've got custodes murking a questionably loyal Space Marine chapter. There might have been issues. I mean, we don't know the full story. I mean, for all we know, it could have been.
Oh, they kept it somewhat ambiguous as to what the actual crime was or perceived.
Yeah. From what I saw, I mean, there was something to it, but we didn't. There might have been more to it, but they didn't really go into it in depth. And so I'm very interested to see what more comes of that point specifically.
Well, if I know anything about Warhammer fiction, it's that this will probably end up like all for the best for everyone. that's something else. That's not this. Yeah. Yeah.
No,
that is probably. Yeah.
Yeah.
Stuff. You're probably not even going to get a resolution to that. If I know the way some of this stuff goes, you're just going to, they're going to, I think GW likes to just stir the pot every now and then. They're like, everybody seems to be doing all right. Yeah, let's get them going again.
The universe, I mean, this is something, the constant themes, the universe is so big where this could happen in its own pocket and then never disrupt anyone else.
Well, yeah, but right. It does have. I mean, if you look at we were talking about this, the Minotaurs chapter. Look at the Minotaurs chapter. They're a Space Marine chapter that one of their things is to go after other Marines if this situation happens. So if anything, the custodians are just stealing a little bit of the Minotaurs' thunder. You know, it's something that does happen in Warhammer, right? Yeah, I'm telling you, don't trust anybody in gold armor.
It's just funny reading some of the comments, right? Because like some people are like, well, I mean, you know, if they just given up, if they just given over to the custodes, and it's like,
yeah,
you gotta ask, hey, have you read any of the other?
Never in the history of ever has that ever worked out. Has anyone ever in the 40K universe that's gone peaceably?
You know what it is? It's like in Transformers. You remember the Transformers, the movie? When they're like those, the fish people, that triumvirate thing, they're there pronouncing everybody guilty and they're getting eaten, and then the dude gets pronounced innocent and they still throw him in and feed him to the piranha. It's the exact same thing. It doesn't matter. Just also, let's talk about one thing here. First off, never trust anybody in gold. Dante. Sorry, Paul.
I was about to bring up Dante and the Sacred Guard. They are exceptions.
Let's talk about the fact that I'm telling you, Dark Angels are the hide and seek champions of the 41st millennium. Like, think about this. Like, these guys are just getting busted left and right. The Dark Angels, half their legion went traitor, and nobody's found out. I mean,
that was a lot. Half a legion. That's a lot of people.
This was probably just some dude in accounting pocketed like 5 space bucks or something. And they're going to wipe out a chapter. On. Yeah. And half a legion goes, and they still haven't found the Dark Angels out. I'm telling you, my boys in green, they're good at keeping secrets.
He bought some embargoed apples or something.
Eldar. They were Eldar apples or something. That's it. Yep. Son of a... It'd be wine. I feel like the Eldari, they probably keep their pinkies out too when they drink it.
So that's definitely cause for expulsion from the Imperium.
I mean, unless you're Gilliman. And then, I'm just saying.
Hypocrisy is all through the Ultramarines.
Yeah. I can't say
shots fired.
Here we go. Oh my gosh, here we go. Now we're gonna get the Ultramarines in on this. It's already Blood Angels every day. Weren't Space Wolves people mad at you already, Paul? Like now you're gonna piss off the Ultramarines fan base? Oh,
I just did another little spot on there's a show called 40K Today, which it's a 15-minute broadcast they do daily.
Oh, who'd you alienate on there?
Space Wolves again. Doubling, tripling down.
Wait, what was it? Ferris Bueller said you can never go too far. Was that?
Well, everyone asks. It's like, should we blend in the Space Wolves with other chapters? And the obvious answer is, yeah, why not? Go for it. But not if you're a Space Wolf player. Only filthy casuals would ever consider that.
Yeah, should we blend in Blood Angels?
You could.
Oh wow!
Oh no! Okay. You would blend Blood Angels into Space Wolves. You would never blend Space Wolves into Blood Angels.
I just meant like, would you blend them into a regular Marine, like a book or something?
Oh, even the book is questionable. We must maintain our lines and the other chapters. Obviously not.
I saw somebody, I don't remember if it was probably on Facebook because I read it. I read it in the past month, so it had to be on Facebook because. It's not like I go out, somebody said, I wanted to choke this person, but they said, get rid of, put all the Marine chapters in one book and get rid of all the special characters because they're the biggest, they're what causes the problems in 40K. And I was like, then why play 40K if we're going to get rid of all the flavor of 40K and just blend it all into one vanilla book with no special characters? And, that just seemed outrageous to me. And then I thought about it a little while and I was like, well, I mean, he's not wrong in some ways, but man, what a boring game.
We need that spice, man.
Yeah.
We need these things. I mean, talking about that, that's the only reason I'm like excited about the Inquisitors is because of some of the kind of the really cool ones we've had in the past, like Cody Az, and then what's his name? The Kosmatov or something. I'm butchering
his name. The guy in the chair, right?
Komarazov? Yeah. Komarazov?
It's along those lines. It starts with a K. Inquisitor K.
Yes. The fact that he would nuke his own people.
Yeah. Yeah. What a fun rule that is, right?
Oh, anytime you can get away with doing that. It's like Skaven used to have that rule. I don't know if they still do.
Yeah. But what's funny is I always looked at it from like a Marine standpoint. I was like, oh, I'd have to kill a dude. And then you're like, oh, no. Guardsmen. You're just going to kill some guardsmen. And like, who cares? That's 3 points. Let them die.
But there's been several others too, just like named characters, and there's some in the human characters in the Sister of Battle range. I think they inspire a lot about or capture a lot about what 40K is to us.
Yeah.
In that. I would love to say I identify with Dante and Mephiston just all the time, 24/7, but sometimes
it's they're cool. So alien. They're so alien. It makes it hard to. Identify with a space marine, right? Because they're not really human. I mean, they were, right? But they're not anymore. They're transhuman. They're so alien. Their thoughts are alien. And it's the same reason I can't remember. I was listening to one of the authors talking about the Emperor and how like when he wrote about the Emperor, he didn't write the Emperor's thoughts and stuff. And he didn't write the Emperor from like first person. Because he's so above and so godlike, essentially, right? He's it's kind of, you couldn't really identify with him as a character. He's more of a force.
I remember reading that interview. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. I can't remember where I read that, but in the same way, Marines are very hard to kind of latch on to fully. But you can think about these Inquisitors is like, here is a human, a smart human, or a you know, a very tactically oriented human, whatever. But you can kind of latch on to that a little more, and they can still get into they still get a seat at the table, whereas a guardsman doesn't. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Sure, anybody can identify with Private Snuffy here with his las rifle, but Snuffy doesn't get a seat at the table on the bridge of the ship when they're coming up with the strategy. So it's really hard to have Private Snuffy as your protagonist and still get what's going on. But that's what's really cool about Inquisitors in this. And that's, I think, why their stories are so cool, is you get to see this regular human calling big plays and making a big effect on the galaxy. And so I think that's what's really neat about them. And that, and the fact that their models are super cool.
They've got cool models over the years.
Yeah. What's her name? Severina Rain, that just came out a while back, right? I've
female got her. Commissar.
Yeah. I don't play guard. I don't need a commissar. Got that model though. Like, it looks awesome, you know? And I would love to convert that up into an Inquisitor. You know, like, she's got so much character. And so I think Inquisitors and Commissars and all these little niche kind of units really let us have a lot of, I think it lets GW have a lot of fun making models, and it lets us have a lot of fun painting models that don't have to be painted a specific way.
Yeah, maybe there'll be some use for them coming up. You know, it's kind of hard for us just to speculate on these things, but they're, you know, there's certainly a lot of putting a lot of impact on the character. I mean, any character that gets a model with a story, we've got, you know, some things moving and shaking. So, you know, we'll see what comes.
Yeah. I mean, while we're on it though, where's my crude HQ? I want a crude HQ, Paul. I know that has nothing to do with anything we're talking about, but I want it.
I don't guess the one in Blackstone Fortress.
Nope. He's an elite, I think.
He is. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was the first thing I looked at when that model was coming out. I said, please let him be an HQ. And then he was an elite and I was bummed.
Maybe one day.
GW, I'll straight up give you $50 for a crude mercenary. Look, like, I don't care. Put it in a white dwarf. I'll give you $50 for a white dwarf if you give me a crew army list. I'll do it. I mean, it's not like I'm spending my money on anything else right now.
That's how deep is the range though? Like, how deep is the plastic range?
It's one kit deep. Wait, I'm trying to think. Let's see here. Yes. If you count the Blackstone Fortress guy, it's two kits deep. Everything else is metal.
It's four poses deep.
Yep. You know what? And I'm okay with that. I'll make it work.
Dodge breath. But you know, I want it.
You're always there for me, Paul. And I appreciate that.
Let's take a quick break. I think we will be, if anyone fast forwarded to the 30-minute mark, we're not there after the edits. You're gonna have to skip back a little bit, but if you skip back, know that we talk a little bit about crew mercenaries, and so you've got a little buffer before we get into the next. Look, you know how hard it is to give this kind of spoiler warning and then have to edit the show.
That's tough, dude. That's what lets people know that you put on a good product here. Is
trying to do what I can.
Yeah, do what you can. I've chugged a lot of caffeine, and then you said, "Hey, you want to record?" And so this is what you get. This is what you get.
Getting ready make for it your work. 134th hour of space engineers.
We're going to hit it. We're going to hit it. We're going to make it to space tonight. That's embarrassing, right? I've not even made it to space yet, but my rover is awesome.
I don't even know you. I'll see y'all in a minute.
FTN is brought to you by Discount Games Inc. Please visit them at www.discountgamesinc.com. And don't forget to ask Jay about ways to save even more on your hobby projects.
Hey everybody, we are back. Still got Red and Ricky here.
And that's what happens when an asteroid hits your rover when you're playing in survival mode.
Hey everybody, welcome back.
Oh, this is the stir crazy episode, I guess. I've acquired some Sisters of Battle. I've got two Exorcists.
Good start.
Because just models are so good.
Yeah.
That new limited model, that new like release model they gave for her for the Sisters of Battle recently.
Yeah.
Where she's like holding the bolter aloft. Man, that is a good looking model right there.
It is, and it's just a sergeant or whatever, but whatever, you know, got that too.
Sisters of Battle Lieutenant. Yeah.
Yep. So I think this is, you know, get something to get me through. Not that I didn't have models, but you know.
Yeah, yeah. You have so many that you lost a Belisarius call. Like, I don't think you need more.
He'll turn up.
Yeah, okay. In somebody else's army.
Yes, don't say that. Don't put that evil on me, Ricky.
Yeah. Belisarius call is going to look like somebody's Honda Civic. It's going to get stripped down, repainted. It's going to be rolling on a new base, and you're never going to know. It's going to be so sad.
But that's where it got me. I had this brilliant idea to, like, really, you know, rearrange and organize my hobby area because I've got this extra time, you know, right? Like, at least a couple yeah. hours a day that I'm not commuting or whatever. And now I've, I don't know.
That, see,
models are gone.
You've got to learn the fine art of just embracing the clutter. When it comes to the hobby area, just embrace the fact that it's going to always be in some state of disarray. All right. A cluttered hobby area is a productive hobby area. If it's nice and clean, Paul, that means you're not using it, dude. Like, just accept it. If you didn't clean, you wouldn't have lost them.
You're right. They'd be sitting right there on the shelf.
Yep. Just completely. This is your fault.
And I would know where they are at all times because I could
yep.
see it.
Yep. Either that or it got stolen. So I don't know. Pick one of these. But either way, it's not my problem.
I hate it that you're right. Like in this instance, you are very right.
I don't know that I've ever heard you say that. It feels pretty good. I kind of like it.
So now I've got the orcs and the Adeptus Auritas that I can, you know, keep myself busy with.
I couldn't play Sisters, dude. You know, like I told you, I'd convinced my wife to start trying to attempt to sit down and think about playing Warhammer. And so we got her the Sororitas box set. Remember when it was coming out?
Yep.
And I watched her putting those together, and thankfully my wife is, I think meticulous is the nicest word for it, but you know, very, very patient. Patient is the word I guess we should use. But my gosh, like there are so many little pieces on that. And like, you know, I'm a big, like I'm a Space Marine player. So it's like, you know, clip, 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 glue, sand. All right, we're good. All right. And you know, I put together, like I was putting together models and she was putting together models, and I put together like 10 intercessors, and here she was still clipping out like that not a banner, what is it, something like, it's like a shrine thing on a pole. Mm-hmm. For that Sisters, I was like, oh my gosh, I would have just cut through that, you know, not paying attention. So it definitely goes to her pace, but those things, there's so much detail on those things, and it's so tiny. Like, I don't know how Eldar players do it. I don't know how Sisters players do it. I don't know how Sisters players do it now. I guess before it was just pop the...
I think the Sisters are 8 pieces per person.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, hey, it used to be 1. So I guess they've got some time to make up, right? So all that time they saved on those metal models, guess what? You're going to earn it back in hobby now.
That's funny. Well, I am. These exorcists are a bit intimidating. I mean, they're just with the sheer amount of, I mean, I haven't looked at the sprues to see how it all goes together, but it does look pretty detailed, and
yeah,
and like you
yeah.
don't want to be too cavalier with the hobby knife.
Yeah, there's like a servitor in there loading missiles and stuff. Is that the one?
No, there's all kinds of, a figure playing an organ, like actually playing
yeah, yeah.
an organ.
Yeah. It's intense.
Couldn't just have a button, could you? Nope.
gotta play Beethoven's Fifth to shoot the missiles.
That's a little more than I want to deal with in the middle of the battle, but you know, I'm not trained in it.
Imagine just hitting the wrong note. Like, think about what hitting a bad note, like a sour note, when your organ is hooked to a missile launcher. Like,
That's probably
scary.
The difference between firing the one missile and the 6 missiles.
Yeah.
Hit a flat
Could
note.
You imagine seeing that? Yeah, just seeing that coming across the battlefield at you. Like, think about if you were in the army today and you were going to war, and here comes a tank over the hill, and you see some nun rocking out some classical music, and every time she hits her little foot pedal or something, missiles come flying at you.
I don't think it's any more ridiculous than what we have in other armies.
Yeah.
I mean, well, maybe, yeah, I like, think it is. Maybe I think not in Space Marines, but like,
yeah,
demons,
Space Marines, definitely, yeah.
You know, the sloppity Bob Piper.
Yeah, but I mean, they're demons. They're supposed to be ridiculous, right? I mean.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. I got plenty to keep me, when I'm not searching for call, but building these models. I think I actually might fire up the Twitch and do like a, you know, let's build together type live stream. I don't know if anybody's interested in doing that. Let me know.
I've got a better idea. First off, yes, do that. Better idea. Fire up the Twitch stream, and then let's watch Paul look for Belisarius call. And it's just you for an hour straight rummaging through your phone bins. I will subscribe to that. I will watch that. We'll take shots like every time it's like every time you find something that you weren't looking for, and you go, there it is.
That would not be PG-13.
No, probably not.
You'd have to make your own channel
for
that.
Yeah, I'm not on mic.
Yeah, but yeah, if anyone would like to, I don't know, tune in, spend some time or whatever, we're going to start doing the live streams. Red and Ricky, you guys have both been on live streams. I feel like we've got the technology on lock. Going to start, I guess, of next week, publicizing and doing those at a regular time. And then whatever, got to keep ourselves entertained.
Yeah, and I'm trying to grow a beard. I figure at almost 40 years old, it's time for puberty to kick in. So y'all can check on the progress on that. Spoiler alert, it's not that impressive. It is great, though.
We know what Ricky's been up to. Red, what have you been doing?
Oh, man. So, I mean, last time I was on, I talked about I've been working on Star Wars Legion with my son. He's playing Rebels and I'm playing Imperials. So
nice.
We made some pretty good progress. He's about ready to start putting his stuff on the base. I'm a little more OCD, I guess, about my models and the detail I'm going with it. But I do recognize that I probably need to just let go of some things and not worry about the, you know, eighth layer of highlighting or anything and just move on so we can play the game together. However, I've had to kind of table that because I am trying to get some significant headway done on my masters that I'm working on, which is in war game design. So I can't really complain. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, sound like you got your hands full as well. I mean, you're not sending a probe to space or anything like Ricky.
No, not nearly as much as I don't feel like I'm as dedicated as Ricky is.
We can't all be space engineers, guys. Okay, all right, we can't all do that. Okay, it's my cross to bear. I will hold that down. But hey, what you're doing sounds important too. Okay, but I mean, you know, space engineer.
Well, one of the cool benefits of the live stream is that you actually get a glimpse of your stormtroopers that you were working on.
Yeah. Yeah, they're coming along pretty well. That was I agree. I think it's going to be cool with the live stream being able to see some of the stuff, you know, in play, I guess, or in progress as we're going through it. So that's pretty cool, man. So looking forward to seeing those myself.
Force me to actually work through some of this hobby backlog.
Yeah, I think anything that can actually get me motivated to finish a project would be super duper.
Yeah, I'm not one of those people that believes like when you finish your backlog that you expire.
Is that the theory?
Know what it's like either.
Yeah, I will live forever.
Oh, but you know, I do. Again, it is nice to have that motivation to keep posting pictures and stuff. And, you know, now I've almost got everything rearranged. I don't know how many more models I'm going to lose during this process.
Yeah. See, you thought you were cleaning, but you're actually just throwing stuff away and you don't realize it until it's too late.
Until it's way too late.
Yeah. Telling you.
But that's what the whole plan was, like, just get this like fresh landscape to then build back up from. And I seem to have, I don't know, shot myself in the foot, but.
Yeah.
Can't let that.
You know what's great, Paul, is like now that you put this out, let's see here. This is going to come out probably what, Saturday or whenever. And so let's see, next trash day. When is your next trash day?
It's Monday.
So Monday. Perfect. So everyone knows to check Paul's garbage on Monday. But while you're there, I mean, feel free to like, you know, sort it for him if he has his recyclables in there, you know, make sure we're taking care of stuff. But I really want you to just put a camera on your trash can.
I don't think it's out there. I think, matter of fact, that if I did end up getting rid of it, it's already gone.
Yeah. yeah, but you're going to keep cleaning and you're going to keep throwing stuff away. And there's, I mean, there's some like, you know, thrifty Warhammer players that could use a new Baneblade or something. And, you know, there's probably just going to chuck one of those on accident.
That's going to be in there. There's a game, like it's one of those little like table games. I think it's called Shaedork.
And Shaedork.
Yeah. And all the characters have a special ability. One of them is a collectible Wargamer. And one of them has the dumpster dive ability. So this is nice.
Real thing.
Yeah. So these are like obviously archetypes, you know.
Oh, I guess it is. Yeah. That's great.
It's a fun game.
I need to find this game. I've been dying to try to I've been looking for a board game. Like I'm trying to find something that's like cooperative dungeon crawl where your characters would level up or something. I know there's like a lot of games out there like that, but none of them really seem to be fitting exactly what I'm looking for me and the family. And I am dying for one right now.
Dude, Silver Towers cooperative level up type game.
Oh, I should say I'm dying for one that does not require me to put more models together.
There, okay. You don't actually have to paint them, right?
Look, dude, we ain't even to that step, okay? Come back to the assembling all of the models. You know how many I still got on sprue? Remember my 8 Hellblasters just sitting in the closet that I didn't know I had? We just talked about this. Like, we have a problem, Paul.
Silver Tower did look fun. A cooperative game. I offer this as a service. I will tailor board games to you.
For the low price of one Belisarius call?
You just have to. You have to give me some information that will lead to the discovery of one Belisarius call.
Oh my gosh! I feel like Robert Stack should do an Unsolved Mysteries. This is a big throwback to our older audience on where this is and offer up the reward money for leading to the arrest of the person who threw Paul's Belisarius call away.
I will find you a board game that you and your family can play.
Okay. Mostly that I enjoy. I don't really care if they enjoy it, but I need to enjoy it. They can just deal with it.
Yep.
Really glad my wife doesn't listen to this.
But, you know, cooperative games are, I mean, there's a whole rash of them out there. So it's good times.
Yeah. And I even own some. I own some cooperative games, but nothing's really, none of the games I own right now are scratching the itch.
Oh, do you have King Domino?
No. Is that just dominoes? Like, I mean, I have dominoes.
It's not. It's there's some gameplay element to it. There's some, there's an essence of it that is domino, but there's some gameplay to it that it's good for lots of different ages.
Yeah, okay. It's kind of like a junior Carcassonne almost to a certain extent.
Oh, okay, I gotcha.
You put tiles together, and this one's a little more advanced, I'd say, than Carcassonne because it's not just, you know, however many little roads you finish or whatever.
It's
however many you put together. There's some multiplier effects to it. It's pretty good.
It's okay. Not like really cooperative, but it's also not like super cutthroat either.
Okay. Right. Yeah, that might be something the family likes. At this point, I'm about to pull out Formula D, and just since they canceled Formula One, I'm about to just make my family participate in an entire season of that, and I'll just pretend that that's my racing.
That is a fun game.
For this year. Formula D is the best. Yeah. And we took it one time. We were on orders up in D.C., and we were stuck in this National Guard armory for like a week straight. And we stayed up till about 2 a.m. every night racing with like 10 people playing this board game. And we ran like a full season. And it was the most fun I've had with a board game in years. So I highly recommend Formula D if anybody is trapped at home with about 5 people.
It is. I like it that you can actually get risky. How the game works is that you're a race car driver, Formula One race car driver. Your gears are represented by die rolls. So like gear one, you're rolling a D4.
Yep.
Second gear, it's a D6. Third gear, D8. So on and so forth.
Yeah.
And then you've got so how many steps you move, and then the game is based off the strategies where you end your move. Like if you end your move in a certain area or something, then
you can take this right. Yeah. 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 So sixth gear is like a 30 sided die, and and depending on what you want to, the mechanic is you have a little gear shift And the gear you're in determines how far you can move, but you're limited by the fact that you have to end your move in these turns. So in a turn, you would have to end your move in there. So you have to strategize out like exactly what gear you want to go in order to make to end your turn in these each of these curves.
You can't enter and exit a turn in the same move or something, I think is what it
is. Yeah, basically to an extent. Yeah, but and you take tire damage or transmission damage if you gear down too far and stuff. There's a lot of resource management in it, and then there's also the die roll, and it is just insanely fun, and it's one of my favorite board games I've ever played. So I highly recommend that game. Can't recommend it enough. And they put out additional tracks, a little track pack that has each one has additional tracks. So you're not racing the same track all the time. And it is fun. I don't recommend it if it's just two players. I think two players is kind of a boring experience, but the more players you get in that game, the more exciting it is. And it's a really well put together board game.
All right. If your family needs a little cutthroat action, you can play Diplomacy, which has no die rolls.
No, we're not doing
Everyone
that.
Just has to do what they say they're going to do in the game and never
Is that how it works?
That's how it works. That's how it's supposed to work, you know, but that's not how it works.
Yeah.
There's no random roll. All everyone puts in their turn, and then one person reads the turns out and makes the moves. And if someone didn't lend support where they were supposed to, or someone went to, into a country they said they weren't going to or whatever, then basically all out war starts around the table.
There you go. And that's how families fall apart. Hey, how are we talking about board games and we haven't mentioned the fact that this 40K Risk is coming out?
Oh, yeah. I saw that.
Did you see the map?
Yeah, it's very interesting.
Oh, I want to see
this. It's different. It's not the, the world map. The thing, the only thing that I'm put off by about this game, and I don't like to complain.
Right?
But the blue player is named Marnius Kalgar.
Yep,
the Chaos player is named Abaddon. The spoiler. The Eldar player is named Autark. The Orc player is named Warboss.
We couldn't take any of the named characters.
This might be a work in progress yet. Like I just looked at the picture.
It's coming out. Yeah, it's coming out. It's definitely not for release yet. So I'm interested to see what that means. So
maybe we get some names on those characters. Yeah. I'd love to see Eldrad or maybe not Gazgul. I mean, who knows? I mean, I don't even. It seemed like they took it, below the Primarch, but whatever. Just need that. Want that character. But yeah, Risk is awesome.
I would prefer to see. Let's get a 40K Axis and Allies going. That would be some brutal fun there if you have 18 hours to invest.
No lie, I would like to see what is it that not the cleansing or whatever, but the Unification Wars. That's it. The Unification Wars.
Oh yeah.
A game of that, a board game.
Like the Emperor on Earth with the Thunder Warriors, like bringing it all together.
Yeah, either that you're like it's a game where you're playing against the Emperor. Like the Emperor is almost like the NPC that just has moves that they do or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Or it is
you just lose at the end of the game, no matter what.
Or you don't, right? I mean, I don't know. Maybe that's depends. Well, yeah, on the I mean,
it doesn't matter which side you're on. You're dead. poor Thunder Warriors never had a chance.
They weren't meant to be.
Yeah,
the candle that burned.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, but like, would you have signed up for that? I don't know. Hey, you're either going to die in war or you'll die after the victory celebration. Sign this contract.
I'm sure it was a weapons malfunction.
Yeah. Yeah. It wasn't the fact that they were genetically coded to expire. Had nothing to do with that.
It does seem weird, right?
Oh, no. They were straight up programmed. Like, they were programmed to die. That's what it was.
But I think that's what one of the things that would make the board game so compelling, because think of the heinousness of stuff on Earth that needed a Thunder Warrior to root out.
Man, Paul, you are on some like Blade Runner levels here.
Let's see it. Let's see it happen.
I mean, and then there was I think that there's some story about the last warlord that the Emperor overthrew. It was touch and go.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I want to know. Who is that guy that the Emperor couldn't just go in and be like, okay, die?
Yeah, couldn't one-man army it. Couldn't go in there and just psychically zap him.
But that's some of the crazy stuff, right? And so, I don't know if you need to do but you guys know about Malkador, right?
Vaguely.
I mean, that he's...
So he exists, right? But he's the Sigilite, but, his background...
Like no spoilers.
Yeah, I can't even go into it, right?
Okay.
But, we won't do another spoiler jump or anything, but I highly recommend if anybody gets the time, go find the Black Library Horus Heresy book where it talks about Malkador. And I know that's kind of like a shotgun spread because he shows up everywhere. But I'm telling you,
some dude's going to read 15 books and be like, stinker red.
Dude, it is amazing. And he is awesome.
It's called the Sigilite? Is this like the short story or something?
So yeah. So there's I'll have to double check, and by next time maybe I'll have looked it up. But it is a short story, and it's essentially an encounter between him and one of the Primarchs, where one of the Primarchs talks to him about his background, and his background is in light. I'm a huge I love the background with the Emperor. You're talking about the Unification Wars and all that. I love following how all that came together and everything that it took to make that happen. Because it, like you said, Paul, definitely that was quite the endeavor.
We just have to hold on here, guys, because if you think about it, Warhammer 40,000, everybody loved it. And there was this just little tidbit, this little nugget there about the Horus Heresy, right? And then it grew and it grew and it grew. And then all of a sudden, finally, enough interest was generated by the people who loved 40K for them to go ahead and do the 30K stuff, all the Horus Heresy stuff and the game and the books and all the stuff. Okay. Well, eventually 30K is going to build up and it's going to become mainstream enough to where they say, we need the next niche thing for Forge World to take on. And it's going to be the Unification Wars. You're set. Red, you just have to make it to about 100 years old ish. And we will see this. And then we will play the Unification Wars miniatures game. It's going to be great.
Can't wait.
Well, you better. You're going to have to, because that probably isn't happening.
Hey, you never know.
I would play that. That would be cool. Like Thunder Warriors fighting off some mutant dudes out in the wastelands of North American continent. That would be pretty cool. I think that's Judge Dredd though, right?
I kind of like what you just described kind of reminded me of the most recent Mad Max kind of deal.
Oh my gosh.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's the base cool level that humans have kind of gotten to, almost like human orcs almost.
The Emperor is nothing more than just Max. He's Mad Max. That's it.
I bet he was.
He about have to be to survive all that.
It was before Mel Gibson went super crazy.
Oh, man. Dude, I'm telling you, I did not love the old Mad Max movies. They were just a bit out there for me. I didn't love them. I'm sorry. Send all your hate mail to Paul Murphy. What's your Twitter call? But, dude, the Fury Road is hands down one of the greatest things I've ever seen that my eye holes have ever absorbed.
Yeah, it was visually really good. There was
I sit down to that movie and 10 minutes into it or whatever, I remember looking over at my buddy and I said, what are we watching? And we just sat there with our mouths open, just this is the best. I would just like you watch a Fast and Furious movie and just enjoy the spectacle. I would do that with every Mad Max movie that ever comes out if they're all like Fury Road. That thing was awesome. And I just want to see Fury Road with Thunder Warriors and a dude in gold armor. Let's see that. Yeah, see that.
There you go.
Yeah.
Is that too much to ask?
We'll start a petition.
Is that too much to ask, GW? Is that, are you saying can't do that?
Just need a box set with a semi and the Emperor.
Yes, yeah.
That's it. Price it like Smaug.
Oh, man, yeah. So the three people that buy it will be very happy.
We've significantly walked all over the map.
What? No. I weep for you thinking about the fact that you have to edit this.
Oh, it's going to be pretty much train of thought. We'll be all right.
Yeah. Stream of Consciousness. Just name the episode Stream of Consciousness. Let it ride.
I think we get one every now and then. Hopefully the listeners will indulge us this once. And I know everyone's like, this is not just this once, Paul.
Yeah, no, it's like, you can tell it's going to be one of those episodes when Paul says, hey, everybody, welcome to Fortune Narrative. I'm your host, Paul Murphy, and I'm joined tonight by Ricky Addington. And then you pretty much just know that that's coming, right?
I mean, at least you're consistent, Ricky.
Yeah. You know what you're getting with a Ricky episode, and it's not quality Warhammer analysis.
One day. We'll get you there.
One day. Yeah. Yeah. Maybe.
I mean, I've enjoyed it, Ricky. I've enjoyed it.
Oh, good. Good. Yeah. As I sit here and plan out my Kroot army. That's what the people want to hear about.
The Kroot.
Ricky's Kroot passion project.
Yeah. Well, you know, working on, as far as like hobby stuff goes, going to continue to work on this, the orcs, and that's what I'm going to be a lot closer to competitive orcs. I mean, if there is such a thing.
Oh, yeah. That's cool.
I think, let me tell you from my experience lately, is that orcs don't win at all, but then they drop down there into about the midfield, and then they just wreck some people. And their name is usually Ricky Addington. Because I keep getting my butt kicked by orcs, but I'm always down somewhere, you know, midfield or lower, because I'm bringing something thematic or fluffy or just fun, or hey, let's blow the dust off of this. And next thing you know, what was that big giant mecha dread thing that I was talking about?
Basically the big giant mecha dread. Yeah, you nailed it.
That thing. Yeah, that. Just take a bunch of those. I don't know how they're losing with those in your army, because those things are good.
You know, building up all this Blood Angels, and then Blood Angels are really good right now, and I'm not getting to really get out and wreck face with them.
So that's the worst.
But I have to keep moving, like, you know, like a shark. I always got to keep moving with it with the hobby stuff. So that's why I'm building all this other stuff. I really would just like to be focused on playing them. But I've got them all. That's done. You know, that's I want to keep my skills sharp. So I'm continuing to build and paint things.
Yeah, I really need to actually just do something Warhammer related. I haven't painted in weeks.
I found a fair amount of Dark Angels. I thought about you the other day.
Oh, thanks, man. Were you chopping them up and putting them down as basing material for something?
I just threw them right away.
No. You suck. I know where I'll be Monday morning.
Yeah, there are some some Dark Angel TAC Marines out there.
Oh my gosh. Oh, I mean, I have
the Terminators and the bikes.
I have the entire third company of Marines, and I don't know what to do with them because I'm not going to play them because Primaris are out. So what do you do with 100 green Marines that you're never going to use again?
Play 30K. You put a little mold oil on them.
Can't. They were black then. That's the most annoying thing about it. Stinking Ultramarines, they kept their armor the same. Blood Angels kept their armor. Two coats. just dip them in it. Leave it. Don't even shake it off.
Then you've got a 30K ready army. Two and a half coats of Nolan oil. Contrast, black Templar.
Yeah. It'll be fine. Spray paint them.
I will say is, being someone who's always liked the aesthetic of the older armor, mm-hmm. I've built like all my Marine armies to have the older armor. So it just kind of worked out that all my attack Marines have heresy style armor.
Yeah. See, it goes that way. It comes from 30K to 40K. Great. You can't really go from 40K to 30K. You know, it just doesn't work. So, and then, you know, Dark Angels double down and, you know, change their color scheme. So you definitely can't do it. I say that like every single Chaos player isn't like, yeah, okay, shut up. Because obviously theirs all changed.
Well, this is going to be a little bit of a short episode tonight.
Is it? Because I rambled a lot.
But I feel like, I mean, this is, you know, this has been, it's been nice. It's been a nice distraction from everything. I know that, you know, online shopping for things is sometimes, you know, new. You know, first time recently I've bought online groceries.
Ooh, how is that? That's weird, right?
Yeah, but, you know, honestly, it's not that much different.
I don't know. Like, I know that people stock the shelves and they put the things on the shelves. I know that they don't just magically appear there, but for some reason, it bothers me to think that people are touching my groceries.
It could be. Yeah. Look, hey, that's part of it. You know, they got this is an adjustment period. So hopefully this is, you know, everybody who's, or all the people that have had to make some adjustments like that, I hope this has been a nice distraction from anything like that. And if anyone wants to chat 40K that we didn't manage to get to on the show, feel free to.
Oh, crap. This is a 40K podcast. Yeah, we should have said something.
It's okay. We've put out our desire for a Unification War board game out into the ether.
There it is. There it is. And it's going to get announced.
Re-inspired myself to go search again for Belisarius Call.
I'm going to be like deep diving like about the Unification Wars. Like the Warhammer fandom wiki is about to get lit up right now with some Unification War stuff.
Let me know the name of that last Warlord.
Oh yeah. Okay. I'm going to start Googling out. I'm going to wait till we're done recording.
Red. I'm telling you, if you haven't seen that stuff on Malkador, Ricky, you should go look that up.
Already got that page pulled up, Red. I'm already reading about it. I'm going to mute myself. Y'all talk about Warhammer.
We might as well go ahead and wrap this up. Thank y'all for hanging in here with us. We are going to be back next week with live streams, hobby stuff, and actual 40K related content.
And then we might actually talk about brutal rulers such as the Warlord Caligan of Ursh, Cardinal Tang, and Narthan Doom. Those are three of the Warlords that the Emperor wiped out. Just so you know, Unification Wars, read up on it. Tell your friends.
Well, Red and Ricky, thanks a lot for joining me this evening.
Wash your hands, everybody. I love you all. Stay safe.
Thanks for having us, Paul.
Make my day.